Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the largest segment of society. To those of you who know that the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions are counterproductive, that they've become corrupt, that they cannot be trusted, I am Yada. Our phone number, if you'd like to join us anytime over the next couple of hours, is toll-free, 877-376-45. You know, it's repulsive that religious individuals just can't get anything right. Here, SRN was chosen to advertise for the television series. I think it's a network deal, AD. And so they just spew it out like it was written. I'd never use AD. If you'd read any one of my books listening to the show, I use CE and BCE, Common Era and Before the Common Era. And the reason I do is because AD means the year of our Lord. Well, the Lord ain't mine. Throughout the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, Yah was clear. He has no characteristics associated with him that would identify him with the concept of Lord. In fact, he is the antithesis of that as the Father of the Covenant. And he associates Lord ubiquitously to Satan, because that is what Satan wishes. So I do not have a year of the Lord. If you do, I would recommend an about-face. The second is, it was talked about the disciples of Christ. It is interesting that they choose to transliterate a Greek term, particularly since Yahusha never referred to them as disciples. Ever. Never called them disciples. Never gave them the term disciple. Never spoke Greek. So why in the hell is a Greek term used to describe them? But that's not the biggest problem. It referred to Yahusha, not by his name, but by Christ, as if Christ was a replacement name. But he never used the term Christ. No one around him ever used the term Christ. The term Christ actually is based on Christos, which means to be drugged. There is no association with Yahweh, who happens to be God, or his diminished manifestation as Yahusha, which means Yahweh saves, and the concept of Christ. Similarly, there is no church. Even though this talked about the early development of the church post-resurrection, not only wasn't there a bodily resurrection, and that's obvious, all you got to read is the text itself. The text itself says, nope, nobody recognized him, not even the women in his life. No one. Not even the misnamed disciples recognized him. And physical bodies don't teleport. Physical bodies don't walk through walls. He was, as we will be, transformed into energy. And it was just simply his soul that was reunited with the spirit, making it an energy-based construct. As for church, there is no association between God and church of any kind. God does not have a church. In fact, he despises the church. He speaks of the church often in Yirmiyah and its basis, which is Babylon, and his hatred for it. Now, if you really want to read what he has to say about the church, read about what he says about Rome and Daniel, and how the monster, the beast that is Rome, continues to live all the way through the tribulation. The monster that grew out of Rome is the Roman Catholic Church. It is Christianity. Yahweh calls it the most menacing and diabolical beast that has ever lived. But he most certainly does not have a church. And when he said, you know, upon this rock I will build my, he was speaking Hebrew, and my was Mikra. Invitations to be called out and to meet. They are seven. There are seven of them. And they begin with Passover, which is the doorway, and they conclude with Yahweh's home, and they walk people through each of the steps along the way to receive all of the benefits of the covenant, which is to be part of God's one and only family. So everything that they are promoting is false. And if you can't get the important issues right, like year of our Lord, Christ, resurrection, and church, if you have all of them wrong, why would you want to, A, promote it, and B, watch it? Reuters is reporting that the folks in Nepal are scrambling to get aid from the airport where it's being flown in, because guess what? The government of Nepal did not turn out to be prepared. I'm telling you, the same thing is going to occur in America. Well, you know, we saw the disaster of Katrina and the government's failure to protect the people in terms of appropriate levee design and appropriate evacuation methods. And we also saw the people's corrupt nature as they rioted in the streets when there was no police to protect stores. The fact is that if you're relying on government, you're going to be disappointed virtually all of the time. And if as the need grows, as it becomes such that society is collapsing around you, either through natural causes or government-induced causes. And, you know, the situation in New Orleans with Katrina was a combination of the two. Then you're going to find that government is less and less reliable. That all that government will do is ultimately send in the military to establish total control.
You're relying on incompetence. We talked about it yesterday. They have a $1 billion unaccounted for in Afghanistan. They just don't even know where it went. It's just gone.
You know what's most amazing about Afghanistan, my friend? The beyond the $1 billion that they announced yesterday, they haven't got a clue as to where it went for reconstruction. And I want to make 2 points on that reconstruction of Afghanistan. Do you know that George W. Bush, when he invaded Afghanistan, you know the first thing that he did as part of the invasion? Most people aren't aware of what the first act was as part of the invasion of Afghanistan. He flew between 10 and 20 C-130s filled with $100 bills, with as many stacks of $100 bills as would fit in a C-130 cargo plane. And he flew them into Afghanistan. $100 bills. Billions of dollars. Now, why would you... You know, the U.S. government has the means to wire transfer. We have the means to... we have credit cards. We have checks. Why would you need airplanes full of stacks of $100 bills? Who do you know operates only with cash? It's criminals, right?
Yeah.
And if you're operating only with cash, it's because you don't want what you're doing traceable. And because you want to bribe people. We sent at least 10. And I understand it's closer to 20. And the government will admit to the 10. And they haven't a clue where any of the money went. Airplanes filled with $100 bills. Stunning, huh? Now, I would ask you a question, Scott. Since you brought up Afghanistan and the $1 billion for reconstruction of Afghanistan, they haven't a clue where it went.
$1.3 billion. No idea where it went. Just missing.
Okay. Wouldn't you want to, if you were a thoughtful individual and you read that, wouldn't you want to know, well, why did America have to rebuild Afghanistan? Did we break it? And since the answer is obviously we broke it, which is why we were rebuilding it, why did we break it? What was the purpose? Why would we praise our military for breaking a country? Can I ask you, Scott, how many Afghanis were part of 9/11?
None.
Not one.
Yeah, none.
Was there any Afghani that says, you know what I really want to do? Is I want to destroy America, and that engaged in the process of destroying America. Were there any Afghanis that did that?
Not that I know of.
No.
Not that they were reported on.
No. In fact, do we have a record of any Afghani perpetrating any terrorist act against America prior to our invasion of their country, where, you know, you, when you invade a country, you kind of irritate people. So, you know, at that point, it's cause and consequence. But prior to our invasion. Yeah, people don't like being bombed. Yeah, the cluster bombs where you kill their family has a tendency to tick people off, yeah.
We're protecting our freedom.
who were we serving when we invaded Afghanistan? We didn't serve the Afghanis. Yeah. We broke their country. No. That's a proof that we're having to... We tried to rebuild it. By the way, we failed. Everything we rebuilt is abandoned. And not being used. So we didn't accomplish anything with our rebuilding, and we most certainly didn't accomplish anything with our destroying, and you don't serve people by destroying their country. So who do we serve? Why do we go there?
To protect our freedom? No.
Our freedom? How is your freedom threatened by Afghanistan?
God, it's actually, it did more to harm our freedom than anything.
Oh, by the way, Iraq. Can you tell me the name of an Iraqi that threatened America? Can you tell me the name of an Iraqi that was involved in Islamic terrorism? Can you tell me of a single Iraqi-sponsored terrorist act anywhere in the world prior to our invasion? Do you know how many terrorist acts occurred in Iraq prior to our invasion and the number that occur on a daily basis today? A couple a year versus 20 or 30 a day. We really fixed that country too, didn't we?
Definitely. We fixed litter, we fixed Detroit, we fixed everything.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know how you got to Detroit, but
well, it's
Detroit is a war zone.
It's all part of the whole people relying on the government, and they're in
yep.
There's nothing that they do well.
So there is nothing they do well. In fact, do you see what the government is doing now? And is it Baltimore? I think it's Baltimore.
Deploying military.
Deploying the military. You know how many? 5,000 troops. Isn't that swell? Welcome back to Shattering Myths. Scott, you reported that the U.S. military announced that they have lost track of $1.3 billion in reconstruction for Afghanistan. Do you know that the U.S. military doesn't have an integrated accounting system?
That's a good
and
way
without an integrated accounting system, the U.S. military cannot balance its books. You know, the U.S. military doesn't have a clue. I mean, not even a clue what they have in inventory. They don't even have a clue because they don't have an accounting system as to what they have on order. Do you know the U.S. military has inventory of thousands of parts for weapon systems that were discontinued decades ago? And they still have those parts on their books as if they have value. And do you know that it's worse than that? Not only does the U.S. military have thousands of parts, expensive parts, you know, parts that they pay 10 times too much for in inventory for military hardware that was discontinued decades ago, they're still ordering more of it. The imbalance between the military guesstimates of how much they've spent and how much they have in weapons of war is the imbalance is somewhere in the $3 to $4 trillion. Well, there's $3 to $4 trillion that's unaccounted for in the military budgets.
At least this isn't something that we spent, just billions upon billions on every year, right?
Oh, no, it's not something like that. Yeah. The annual budget is $650 billion prior to us actually exercising the monster and, like, the invasions of Iraq and Afghanistan, by the time we're all done, will have cost U.S. taxpayers about $4 trillion to make two bad situations infinitely worse.
It's like I told you in the break. We don't even run our military right.
No,
we don't.
We don't
do anything.
No,
right.
The government is a absolute disaster across
they are
the board.
And they're moronic.
But I know a fellow that's not inept nor moronic. He is our man on the street in Philadelphia. Boy, are the riots getting a little close to home there, my friend?
Yeah, it was shifted from the Midwest states to the Boswash, so...
Yeah.
We got a heck of a summer ahead of us.
That is the first blow, by the way, of your predictions. And I want to say two things. So one is that as you were going through your list of imminent concerns, Roy, whom we know as our dimensional expert, wrote me a letter. And he said, I was listening to the program where Glenn was itemizing what his concerns were in terms of the degradation of the overall situation in America. He says, just the day before, I was thinking these things through, and his list and my list were identical. He lives in Australia, by the way, in the Land of Oz.
Interesting. Yeah. So it just shows you that if you're paying attention, these things like pop out at you.
Yeah, his list actually included one thing that yours didn't. It was an extension, really, of one on your list. Your list talked about the concerns over fiat money and quantitative easing and the bankruptcy, the imminent bankruptcy of Greece. In fact, the United States, the realization the United States is actually far more bankrupt than Greece is. He went into the digital aspect of it and the prophetic aspects of the digital implications, and he said that his concern, and he doesn't have much of a concern because he's a member of the covenant family, but just as an observer of things to come, is that we own our homes now digitally. The records are digital. Our bank accounts are all digital. The NSA in America is controlling all things and has access to all things digital. We buy and sell based upon these credit cards, which are digital. And he went through all of the aspects of our lives that have been digitized and how we can be tracked no matter where we are. Our cars are digitized. Our telephones are digitized. They have GPS trackers in them. Our cars have GPS trackers in them. And if the government was to shut any individual down, they can do so immediately. And if the government wants to frame an individual... since they have access to all of the financial and digital shadows of those individuals, they can fraudulently create the impression that you or I have done something heinous.
Right. Actually, as I hear you speak about this digital thing, I think about the fact that digitization is all based on dividing things and creating little discrete divisions. And when analog is about smooth, continuous waveforms.
I'm an analog holdback in a digital age. I still like analog. I think the observational qualities and the nuances of analog are actually superior to digital.
Yeah.
I began this previous segment after we transitioned out of the military with the situation in Nepal. It is not just to mention that the Nepalese government is unprepared to deal with what probably will be a 5,000 death toll. Is to point out that the government of Nepal was wholly and completely incapable of dealing with it. And that the Nepalese government announced today that they're taking a war footing, and that's their official terminology. They're taking a war footing to the disaster. Just as the United States is now taking a war footing to what's happening in Baltimore. We're sending in 5,000 troops. And I share this with you because it is our future. It's something, Glenn, you discussed on our program recently, where you said that people are going to begin to riot, and as they riot, the military is going to come in to suppress those riots, and the suppression of the riots with military is going to cause more people to protest, which is going to exacerbate the problem, and it's a downward spiral.
Right. I I don't look forward to July. I just think for some reason I got a feeling this is all going to be happening mostly in July.
You're not predicting this as a prophet. You have read the prophets, and based upon what the prophets say, you're predicting that this will happen this summer.
Yeah, I'm not even predicting. I'm just saying hot weather. Yeah, we've got protests filtering in Ferguson. We've got the spread to the police brutality incidents keep continuing.
The only difference between you and me on this is that well, I am certain that all of the six things that we discussed that will work cumulatively to fundamentally change the world as we know it and for the worse, that all of them are going to transpire over the next dozen years. And the only question is, are we going to see, and by the way, there's one thing we did not add to the sixth that is a seventh. We are going to experience the impact of natural causes. There will be more earthquakes. There will be more tornadoes. There's going to be more hurricanes. There is going to be an issue with our sun where we're going to have and I think it's probably because of the reversal of our poles. But we're going to have issues with the sun as well. We're going to have an asteroid strike. We're going to have a number of things that are going to be natural causes that are going to further exacerbate the human-caused calamities.
Are you familiar with the U.S. Navy map thing that shows the U.S. divided and the Mississippi turning into like an inland city and all that sort of thing, coastal flooding and that sort of thing?
No, I haven't seen that.
It's a specific, there are various talk shows who address it. Supposedly the Navy sort of revealed to retiring submariners around the end of World War II and stuff, and, recommended, the Missouri and Arkansas Ozarks, a good place to resettle because of all the stuff that's going to be happening. But there's supposedly, there's government-published map, and there are various other non-government people that say this sort of thing, too. But my contention is that, if this be true, these people knew about something astronomical. The only way something like that could be predicted so far out in advance is they know about some, passing celestial object that's going to exert geotectonic stress on the Earth that's going to produce, Richter scale forces.
There is no question that that Apophis, MN 2004, by using the scientific jargon, that was first identified in December of 2004, when it passed very close to Earth, and it is predicted to be about a inside of our satellite orbits, well inside, of course, the moon, but inside of our satellite orbits, it's predicted to pass in 2029. And April 13th, I believe, in 2029, essentially the midpoint of the tribulation, and they are, there have been two schools of thought on Apophis. One is that it will pass within our satellite ring, but it will narrowly miss us. And the other is that these calculations are not that certain when we're talking about that small a delta of time and space, and that there's so many factors of what can happen to Apophis while it's on its elongated orbit for it to be nudged and therefore actually strike. And so I've seen documentary shows that that show it striking and us trying to develop the beans to deflect it, but it's too large for us to deflect.
There might be some. I think that it itself, whatever it is, whether it's Hercolobus, Apophis, Planet X, whatever, whether it be a red dwarf or who knows, but it doesn't matter. It's a big thing. It's out there. It's passing by. I think there'll be substantial gravitational and electrical effects, and that debris following it's in its tail. I'm sure there'll be strikes, something like a burning mountain cast into the sea. Boom. I don't think the thing itself, I think that's junk that's along with it that kind of hits. But it itself, I think it's too large and too heavy. If it struck the Earth, it would just destroy it.
Yeah, the stuff I've read on Apophis, and I don't claim to be a physicist or an astronomer, but I studied Apophis well enough to see that at the size that it is not a Earth exterminator, but it is, if depending on where it were to hit, if it were to hit offshore, either the eastern or in the Atlantic or the North Atlantic or in the North Pacific, the tsunami that it would create by hitting in either of those places would devastate hundreds of millions of people. I mean, wash away all coastal communities along the northern Pacific or the northern Atlantic, both sides. And if it were to hit land, let's say that it were to hit the eastern seaboard, you'd lose many states. It is a state eliminator. So, like, if it were to hit, Texas, Texas would be gone. If it were to hit New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Massachusetts, all of that would be instantly gone. I mean, so it's,
well, we've already been struck by a very slow moving extinction level event, and that's called human sin, and its effects.
Yeah,
I'm a lot
more
concerned about human sin.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
that one. Humanity thing than I am about this thing.
That's true. And will you really see it right now in Baltimore? And the riots in Baltimore are now horrific. Baltimore's aflame. You could always just sense it. I don't know how much time you spend in Baltimore, but I've spent a lot because I used to have a home in the Annapolis area, so we used to go in and out of Baltimore quite frequently. And the Inner Harbor in Baltimore is a beautiful place, but if you drive, my wife frequents John Hopkins. She has a medical issue that there's only one place they can treat it. It happens to be John Hopkins. That's in the Baltimore area. And the area that approaches John Hopkins, I remember one time where she was there, and I said, I would just drive around while she's having her appointment. And, oh, my God. Oh, it was just frightening.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just...
Well, Willard Rausch is the follower, the father of that Inner Harbor redevelopment, which was pure genius. You have the National Aquarium and all that there, but it's kind of like Broadway. You go Atlantic City. You go a few blocks away from the beauty and the heights, and whoa!
Wow.
You know?
Yeah, your likelihood of surviving a walk, 5-10 blocks from the redevelopment areas, or from John Hopkins, is really low. You know, if you were to take an evening walk after dark, I think your odds of surviving would be really low. I'm not surprised to see it the upheaval that we're witnessing. And of course, this upheaval was a combination of two things. One is the police are absolutely out of control. The people are right. The police are out of control. People are wrong. It's not a racial issue. It's a moral issue.
I know.
It's a training issue. It's an indoctrination issue.
I'm grateful that the black community has finally had that march to D.C., the Capitol steps, and to complain about police brutality. The only thing and I don't blame them for standing up about this. I think it's good. I just wish they were, racially inclusive about it. Black lives matter, white lives matter, all lives matter.
Right.
Police
brutality is not a racial issue. It is moral issue. It's a judgment issue. It's an issue of the conduct of America, where America changed. And when it created the Department of Homeland Security, it created a police force and a spy mechanism on Americans. And Americans became the foe that they were working against. They were protecting against. And once we made that transition and began to fill our police ranks with former military who had been indoctrinated and twisted to the point that, you have a disproportionate number either taking their own lives or on, mind-altering medications because they claim post-traumatic stress syndrome. I saw a commercial last night that I about puked, and it was on all of this, the wonderful benefits and the honorable intent of joining the army, of being a soldier. My wife and I talked about it afterwards. I said, God, look at what they do to people. I mean, they fundamentally ruin a person's life with their indoctrination, with the twisted mentality of that environment. The fact that in the U.S. military, the one constant is dishonesty. And the second constant is that they're an institution devoted to killing and destroying, to applying force. And it just so twists the individual, and then now we're taking these individuals that we broke and we're putting them into our police departments. And then we created a Department of Homeland Security to have a domestic police force. And that's our problem. And I wish that the activists in the African American community would just be inclusive.
Right. That modern, you know, song is like, free your mind and the rest will follow. Be colorblind, don't be so shallow.
Okay. Right, exactly.
Well, that swings both ways. It's true, yes. Right. So the backlash to protest has to be colorblind.
Yeah, I mean, the death of Tamir Rice is the one that haunts me the most. You know, yes, that was racial in the sense that it was two white cops that drove up and killed an African-American boy. But I don't think it had anything to do with racism. I think it had all to do with the indoctrination and the training and the mindset of today's police. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. Glenn, do you think that they're going to get Baltimore under control? Or is the Baltimore riot going to continue to...
I don't know. I'm hoping that it may spike and settle. I kind of don't see it, you know, becoming too pervasive. I think, like in Ferguson, a certain amount of destruction may occur. And the mayor's saying she's even leaving room for people to be destructive. If I were CVS, I wouldn't be rebuilding that drugstore if that's going to be their attitude. But
oh yeah, that's the amazing thing is that it's not just that the government is oppressive, and this is what we're going to see. We're going to see in the case of Baltimore, they're bringing in thousands upon thousands of U.S. troops are being deployed in Baltimore. The militarization of America, and while that's my biggest concern is the militarization of America, you still got to wonder, what in the world is wrong with people? And I'm going to blame it here, and I know that I'm subject to criticism. But I think that when you have generations that have received entitlements, that have been paid, they've been provided their food, been provided their housing, been provided everything they need without working, that they have no respect for other people's possessions. And so they have no issue with looting because everything that they have has been given to them. They haven't worked for it. And so they have no respect for other people's possessions. They have no respect for other people's property. And so there's this mentality here that when you give somebody something for nothing, that you destroy their character. And I think a lot of that is what we witnessed in Katrina. I think it's what we're witnessing right now in Baltimore. People without backbone, without moral fiber. And I think it's society that has created the environment where their moral decay is on display.
Or when you have 90 million people who are willing to work but can't find jobs or have their jobs scuttled and
I'm not buying that. Am I really not? Because if you, let's say, for example, when I go off and I'm driving across country, the single most repetitive ad I hear is for truck drivers. Big money. And if you want to be a truck driver today, doesn't take great skill. Doesn't take great mentality. You want to be a truck driver today, there are any number of maybe 50 firms that are begging you, giving you sign-on bonuses to be a truck driver. They'll even train you to be a truck driver. You want to work? I mean, there aren't incessant ads for truck drivers on every radio station you could listen to driving across country because there's no jobs.
Right.
I mean, you know, there's a fat. America is now spending more money on at fast food restaurants than it is in supermarkets.
Right. I wonder about about that. I
you want to go work? You want to go get a job? Show up at a fast food restaurant. But you, the reason that most people don't work is because they're unwilling to work. Now, I know that there are people who have lost their jobs. In fact, I want to be careful here because one of my really good friends lost a job because somebody did something that was really heinous to them. And they really wanted to work, and it took a long time for them to find gainful employment. And so I know that it isn't easy. And when you get down on your luck in this kind of things, that, you know, then you can lose your car and you lose your access and you lose housing, and therefore you're not even presentable when you show up at a job. And I understand that there are many people who genuinely want to work who have lost their jobs. But I'm here to tell you, if you want to work, there are thousands upon thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of jobs that are available.
Right. And some, you know, they pay too well. But anyway, without going too far down that road. But, whatever the case, we're definitely going to see, more trouble.
Summer of our discontent. The summer of our discontent. And the summer of our discontent is going to be resolved by the federal government by military intervention. We are going to become a police state.
Going all Shakespeare on me, huh? Yes. I should go, but I really wanted to point out what I called in about was those C-130s delivering those pallets of money to Afghanistan were delivering weapons of mass destruction and mass deception, time bombs that go off over a very long period of time.
Oh, boy, is that the truth. Yeah, our fiat currency is a weapon of mass destruction. It destroys everyone's wealth. If you've worked and you've put savings aside, if you own a home, the fiat currency, known as the dollar bill, is a weapon of mass destruction. It is destroying everything you've earned.